Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the E2E Networks Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Rashi Khatri from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you to E2E Networks Limited H1 and Q2 results and earnings call. We have with us on call today Mr. Tarun Dua, Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Jain, the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ronit Gaba, the Company Secretary. I must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company may face. I now request Mr. Tarun to take us to the company's business and financial highlights, subsequent to which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Hi everyone. Welcome to the Q2 financial year 2026 call for E2E Networks. Let me very briefly talk about our business. So we are a compute infrastructure player, including cloud GPUs, based out of India. We have built capacity of more than 3,900 cloud GPUs, and we have been in the business of providing compute infrastructure since 2009. So we have built a very strong engineering team over the last many years, and we have built our from-the-ground-up self-service platform for running our entire cloud infrastructure, which is accessible on the web on myaccount.e2enetworks.com. And TEAL is our AI/ML platform, which is a part of myAccount infrastructure. So our platform allows for a lot of features which are typical of any large cloud provider on a self-service basis. So let us talk about some of the updates, recap some of the updates, some of which have already been shared with you. So your company received two reasonably large orders from IndiaAI Mission for 88 crores and 177 crores. And these are primarily for customers who want to run their own LLM training for building large domestic LLM models, which are primarily focused on India. And of course, depending on the choice of the customer, they might be usable globally as well. So these two large orders essentially will we are in advanced discussions with both the IndiaAI team as well as the customers on helping to go live with these. And we expect these to go live very soon. Now, we had made a guidance for FY26 March for the monthly run rate, where we mentioned a number of anywhere between, say, 35-40 crore per month. So with these two orders, it looks like potentially we should be able to meet our monthly run rate number, hopefully much earlier than March. And obviously, there is a great deal of confidence because of these IndiaAI orders that it should be possible to do this sooner. Now, we are also continuing to see a very robust global demand for cloud GPUs. The demand continues at a price point at which Hoppers are available globally and at a reasonably higher price point for Blackwell GPUs. We are also seeing a lot of demand globally. So basically, what we had position was that, like, as we have visibility into our capacity utilization for hoppers, we would be looking at procuring more black mills. So given the market scenario of, like, a lot of demand picking up for black mills, we are already in very advanced stages of placing the orders for nearly 2,048 black mills, majorly B200. This is primarily funded through our internal accrual, previous fundraisers, and debt from institutions. Now, we spoke about, like, how the Chennai location had become a bit delayed. So our Chennai location went live from first of August. Now, all of our capacity today is completely online and available for use by our customers. I would also like to once again share the news about the ongoing acquisition of Jarvis Labs assets. So primarily the reason for kind of like acquiring the business of Jarvis Labs was essentially to be able to service, like, lot of additional self-service demand for a cohort of customers we were currently not serving, especially the customers who operate globally. And even more importantly for us was the people who were a part of Jarvis Labs. Now they are a part of E2E Networks. And essentially, we believe in their ability to contribute overall to building up, like, a very fine DNA for E2E Networks. So that's the one of the reasons for the Jarvis Labs acquisition. And hopefully, in the medium and long term, we'll see a lot of benefits from having access to the great talent that we have already built within E2E and acquired through Jarvis, and where we will continue to work on acquiring more tech talent in India. So over a period of time, we will see, like, great benefits of that. Now, that being said, like, our focus continues to be, like, from a management perspective, like, our focus continues to be to right-size the cloud GPU infrastructure acquisition in a way that, like, is prudent and as well as also aggressive. So prudent and aggressive, I'm trying to reconcile that. So basically prudent from the point of view that, like, once we have visibility on, like, how the capacity would be utilized, we want to buy more and buy as much as that, like, we don't lose business because of lack of capacity. So that's the balance we have always tried to maintain. And in future also, our strategy remains to kind of, like, balance these two. Now, that being said, like, overall, the global market, if we look at, like, we are still very, very small. And which essentially means that, like, there is plenty of addressable market for us to pursue. And whatever capacity we build, like, we are very confident that, like, we will be able to utilize that capacity for revenue. So that continues to remain our strategy. On the platform side, on technology side, we are committed to continue to invest in our sovereign technology. So when I use the word sovereign, I essentially mean that, like, we are building technology which is primarily reliant on open source with minimal reliance on international software, which could be subject to, say, encumbrances in the future. So essentially, we continue to invest in our technology, homegrown technology, for our customers, for our cloud, and we'll continue to do that. And we foresee, like, at long-term benefits of continuing with that strategy of having full stack sovereignty. So essentially, sovereignty, like, we have defined it, like, for our customers, that, like, one is that, like, we are an Indian cloud GPU provider, where the owned by us. The data centers are physically located in India, and the software being operated on our cloud is primarily built by us or is open source with an ability to redistribute that open source however we see fit. So we have three levels of sovereignty over there, and we believe in India's strategy of building sovereignty over the AI model, which is what we are seeing the investment from India AI Mission from, where they are trying to build a sovereignty of Indian AI model. So that becomes like four levels of sovereignty. And of course, like as a country, we will continue to invest into the entire sovereignty platform, just like in the past India has invested into the digital public infrastructure. I think like the partnership between public and private enterprises would lead to Atmanirbharta and self-sufficiency. And we believe that like we are a big part of that equation in India. So with that note, I would like to hand over the conversation to Nitin, our CFO, who is present. And then we would open up the discussion for a Q&A session.
Thank you, Tarun. Good afternoon, all. So I would just run you through the financial highlight. So in the quarter ended September 30, 2025, we reported a revenue of 43.8 CR, which is 21% over the last quarter, which is April to June 2025. EBITDA margin has significantly improved to 41% from 29% in the previous quarter. Other income comprising interest, mainly comprising of interest on deposit, has declined on account of utilization of deposits for the payment of capex. As a consequence to the depreciation, and we reported a net loss of 13.5 CR. Now we can open the floor for the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the CAPEX, since we are fully utilized with the two contracts that we've received recently. So what is the CAPEX plan for this year and next 2 years, if you can provide in terms of amount as well as in terms of GPUs? Yeah.
Let's talk in terms of GPUs. I think so what we believe is that globally what we have seen, and we hope that that would get replicated in India, is that the Blackwells are going to be much bigger than Hoppers in terms of global utilization of that infrastructure. And the price point for Blackwells is different. So there is no cannibalization for Blackwells. Cannibalization of Hoppers because of Blackwell. So we don't expect that to happen. So overall, we believe that whatever number of Hoppers we have acquired, it could be, the Blackwells could be anywhere between 2x to 8x that number. So when we run through the entire cycle, we will know. So like I mentioned that we are both prudent as well as aggressive. So we'll continue to operate both prudentially as well as aggressively to acquire more capacity opportunistically. So as we are immediately planning to acquire about 2048 Blackwells, so as soon as they are deployed or while we are in the process of deploying them, if we see that there is potentially more capacity that can be utilized based on the inputs that we keep getting from overall the market and the ecosystem, we might decide to double up that number all the way to 4096 in the before March. And we believe that another 12 months or so, we will keep acquiring Blackwell until we are ready to, until the next generation becomes ready to ship and becomes available for receipt, like in the Indian market. So we believe that there is a long runway to be able to answer that question today, that what's the maximum capacity. But I think, like, on an immediate basis, I think anywhere between 2048 to 4096 GPU should be there.
This you are mentioning before March, this March, you are saying, March 26?
Yeah, I'm not talking about deployment, but, like, in terms of, like, so one is, of course, like, 2048, like, is already underway, under process. So, potentially, like, another 2048, like, even if it goes under process, so whether that deployment will happen in February or March or later, that would be hard to say today unless we place those orders with the vendors.
So can we assume, like, 2048, if average pricing for one Blackwell GPU is closer to 50 lakhs, can we assume, like, a 1,000 crore CapEx by FY26, before the closure of FY26?
See, it's hard to kind of, like, put numbers like that. Like I said, that, like, look, the pricing is dependent on a lot of things. So let us not put, like, kind of like a hard number to these things. But we are committed to building, like, sufficient Blackwell capacity with a view not to lose any opportunities for Blackwell infrastructure coming our way.
Got it. And, sir, second question is regarding the purchase of service and consumables. I believe that is largely with respect to Chennai facility, and that is largely done with. So can we assume that 14 crores would be the run rate going forward in future quarters as well?
See, some difference would be there before the Blackwell capacity gets added, in terms of that when your utilization goes high, the cost obviously goes higher. And we continue to build capacities for non-flagship GPUs, for CPUs, for storage, and many other things. So, that being said, that, like, broadly, that is in range, that, like, it will not change drastically, unless we add a few more clusters of a couple of thousand GPUs. Till that time, we don't expect it to change drastically, but, like, that number obviously would change, but not to a significant extent.
Got it. And, sir, just regarding the data center capacity, how much megawatts do we currently have, and how much do we require with the Blackwell capacity coming on stream? If you can throw some light on that.
We have some of the older capacity that we classify close to 1 MW or so. Then the newer capacity that we built in the recent past, like last 2 years or so, including the Chennai one, the capacity available to us is about 9 MW plus 1 MW older capacity. So that's an overall of about 10 megawatts or so of capacity. So broadly, if you look at 10 megawatts, you are looking at, like, somewhere between 8,000 to 10,000 cloud GPUs can be made available over there. That being said, like, our Chennai facility, like, we have the ability to kind of, like, get more capacity over there at a reasonably short notice.
Got it. So just a follow-up on the depreciation part. Is the depreciation charge for the new gross block already capitalized? I mean, it's there in the P&L right now. We are a 42 crore run rate, so that would be the largely depreciation number for following quarters as well?
I'll let Nitin answer that question.
Yeah, so I think the number would be broadly similar, but only one point, that Chennai cluster became active on first August. So 1 month depreciation would be an additional number.
Got it. Got it. So we can assume, like, 50 crore depreciation run rate for the entire year, sorry, for the next coming quarters?
Yeah, should be on the same lines.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue, and all the best for the future. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, we request you please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Anand B. from Sema Wealth Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please go ahead.
I just want to get this thing, one thing, that data centers which you are offering, that is of third party, is it not all of them?
Right. Yes. We are so not, recent, we don't own any data centers. So these are all third party data centers, yes.
Okay. So recently TCS announced that they'll be installing a 1 gigawatt data center in Andhra. So, and they said that the main customers will be for accelerators, for cloud GPU accelerators. So will E2E Networks be a client or will be participating in that data center?
I think that is a question which is a bit premature. I think like we would like to, we like to see a data center where we are buying capacity. So once they build those data centers and they have the capacity available for sale, we would be happy to consider them along with all the other players. Like, so, like we essentially go by merits of any player before buying any services. So if TCS is in the market to sell those services, we are happy to speak to them, of course.
No, I'm saying are like talks underway or something or like...
No, not currently.
Okay, okay. My second question is, you said the MRR for March 2026 would be the same, like as you mentioned before, 34.
Yeah, yeah. We have updated our guidance based on the confidence that we have received from IndiaAI Mission, where if we put the two orders together, then that itself is about 20 crores plus MRR coming. And then we have another quarter and a half to build up more runway, so we are reasonably confident of meeting the guidance that we have given earlier.
Okay, so would you say that in the next quarter, so would you reach that MRR?
You see, the guidance we have given is for March 26th, so we would like to stick to that. Hopefully, like it should be earlier than that, obviously, because like we feel that like these deployments are imminent. So, and then when they go online, like obviously they will start showing up.
Okay, okay. I'm just also last questions. I just want to get some information, right? So, currently you have 3,900 plus GPUs available, right? That is the total capacity. So, so previously you mentioned 8,000 to 10,000 cloud GPUs. That is apart from the AI GPUs that that is available.
So I think somebody asked a question about like what's the data center capacity. So I was like essentially talking about the data center capacity can contain that many GPUs. Doesn't mean that we have that many GPUs today.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay, well, thank you so much. I'll get back on the queue.
Sure, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible. So, sir, like, regarding the recent order that we won through IndiaAI Mission, so as you can see that realization for this order appears to be on the lower side, so like which potentially extend the payback period. So could you provide some color on the margin profile for this project and we should, like, what margins should we expect going forward?
Overall, like, once we actually go into implementation and then we actually look at, like, all the requirements that might come through, whether through IndiaAI or through the customers who have received these allocations, only then we will be able to comment on, like, margin profile looking back. So currently we are not able to kind of like say whether it would be too low or too high or whatever. So I think we'll have to do a look back to figure out that like how the overall margin profile turns out to be.
So sir, like are we in line with the margin guidance that we earlier guided?
See, the EBITDA guidance like has been always that like I think like we have the ability to hit somewhere close to 70% plus minus something. So we stand by that like from an overall company perspective.
Got it, sir. And sir, any visibility that we have got on the software side on the Sovereign AI Cloud?
No, not currently. There is no immediate visibility of revenue on the software side.
Got it, sir. I'll come back in a bit. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubham Agarwal from YES Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah. Hi, Shubham. Yeah, please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. So I just have one question. What is the useful life that you take for your GPUs, for the depreciation consideration?
For the depreciation purpose, I believe it is like as per the Companies Act, which is 6 years, which is for all servers, not just GPUs. And mostly useful life, we see that like for GPUs or CPUs is at least like happily and easily about 7-8 years.
7-8 years. Okay. That was the question I had. Best of luck for the number side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Gandhi from Fident Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. So Tarun, my question to you is, on the AI development side in India, and as far as my understanding is, if someone is using an LLM API, the computing happens on the LLM's end. So essentially the computing can happen on foreign waters, foreign land. And what I wanted to understand is, in India, do you see that significant of compute requirement? Because if AI development is happening through APIs, and I'm not sure how much is happening through APIs, and if it is happening, then it's not much of a big market for us. Just some clarity.
Like, there are like so many nuances over there in terms of like what people are trying to do with AI. So if you look at like the use cases where people need to have a control over the outcome, where people need to have security, where people need to have the sovereignty of how they are processing the data. So let us take the case of people with the significant number of users. So eventually with significant number of users, if you end up doing financial transactions in India, then I believe that like a lot of that infrastructure would need to be set up in India itself. Second is that like these are not the people who would use a one size fits all generic inference APIs to do their business or to run their business. So they would obviously look for an edge which can only be achieved by having dedicated backend infrastructure for the inference APIs where you are able to make changes to the underlying platform with the help of like retraining, fine tuning, and being able to teach the AI model. Like, so we see a lot more development in the open source AI, which enables all of these things that we are talking about. So while we have seen that proprietary AI definitely comes up first and says that, yeah, we are doing something that nobody else can do. But what we have seen is that the rate of change in open source is very, very rapid today. And mostly we see that with a 1 quarter to 2 quarter or 3 quarter gap, we see open source which is able to do 90% of what proprietary AI models are able to do. Now, the way to derive maximum benefit out of those open source models is by running your own org boundary around those models. And being able to take like definite and direct benefit of those models. And health is not the major use case alone for AI. AI is present everywhere. So all said and done, like so where the developers are using AI is not the only question we should be asking. So there is a need and demand for sovereignty over AI, which is very important, and that
so
I believe
So the implication is that we're largely dependent on open source architecture and developments around that architecture.
Okay, so sure, that is one way of putting it.
Understood. And just a follow-up on this. So OpenAI has, opened an office in Delhi and still very premature, but is there a chance?
We will not be commenting on OpenAI over here in this call. So yes, OpenAI is a large company, but we are not talking about that over here.
I see. So is there a chance we could be fulfilling their compute resource? Or you won't be commenting on that currently?
Too early to say is what I would say.
Got you. And the last question would be, although the economic life of a GPU you said was 7 to 8 years, do you think going forward, since the technology is advancing so rapidly, do you think 7 to 8 years of economic life would be an appropriate assumption?
Yeah, it has continued to be an appropriate assumption in the past. Now, future, of course, nobody can predict. But what we have seen is that the entire ecosystem of what software has been built on top of what AI/ML stack. So all of these things put together, continue to operate best at a particular price performance over a particular model of a GPU. So that doesn't change very rapidly without investing massively into development and data science and AI/ML effort. So net-net, what we have seen in the past is that that continues to kind of be the future as well, where any GPU model that is existing that will have a sweet spot for certain use cases, which kind of came in vogue during the peak prime time of that particular GPU. So for instance, currently we see all three big models, big GPUs, like Ampere, the 800 series, 800 and related series, and the Hopper series and the Blackwell. So there is a demand for all three of them. So essentially we are looking at almost a 6-year life cycle across the three of them. And Blackwell, we are simply entering into that life cycle. So that being said, we believe that our assumption that GPUs will continue to be useful is grounded in what we are seeing.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aminesh Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand that other current assets in the balance sheet in H1 has gone up significantly. What I understand is that it's a GST input receivable item. So I assume that it was for our GPUs that we had in CWIP. So I thought it was fully registered, if you can address that concern. Why has it almost doubled in amount?
Nitin, can you answer that question?
Yeah. So the preliminary amount includes the GST balances and the fixed deposits, other current assets. It's an advance to vendors that we have given across for procurement of the new GPUs. That's the other reason, along with the previous balances of GST receivable.
So, sir, the current increase that has happened from the previous amount, which has doubled, it's not GST input hasn't gone up. Some other items have gone up. Would that?
Yeah. So GST input was already factored in the March financials because the capitalization was under CWIP, and GST input was already taken. During the current quarter, it has gone up primarily because of advances given for the procurement of new GPUs.
Okay. Okay, sir. Got it. And on the next question was regarding our debts that we've taken about 100 crores. So can you guide what our full year debt would be and what our debt utilizations would be for next year?
So that what we have taken the facility is 450 crore, which would be utilized as per the terms of agreement with the vendor during the payment cycle. So by end of March, that completely should be utilized across, by end of March or earlier April.
Got it, sir. Got it. And just last question. Regarding, sir, our initial two contracts that we've won, it's been more on the basis of GPUs being given out on an hourly basis. Going forward, if we have any enterprise wins, will this continue to be our model, or will we move towards a more traditional cloud-based model, which is our pay-as-you-go model, which will actually avail our platform benefits? If you can throw some light on how our model is going to shape up going forward.
Sorry, I was on mute. So we continue to work on all aspects of how people want to utilize the GPUs. So there would always be customers who want to kind of use GPUs for short periods of time where they would want to do hourly, weekly, monthly, three-monthly. And there would always be customers who would look for longer-term engagement in terms of how they want to utilize their GPUs. So that is there.
So just to follow up on that.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Jain.
No worries.
May we request you to please rejoin the queue?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthikeyan Vaidyanathan from Raj Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I think I have two to three questions. First is, so what exactly is the moat that ETV enjoys compared to other data center players, and how you're sort of this whole L&T buying some of the existing in your company, right? How are you sort of leveraging L&T tech into this whole place? Can you throw some light on this? Just want to understand, because there are other data center players, what is that unique solution that ETV offers?
See, we are a cloud player, not a data center player. So essentially, we have a full stack of services. So we have been supporting GPUs all the way since 2019-20 kind of timeframe. And we have been working on our software platform for the last so many years. And then we have the ability to provide the solutions of the kind that customers need. So that's what we would like to believe is our moat, that our customer orientation towards providing the support, providing the solutions, and providing the software platform on which to run either training or inference or model endpoint deployment, and the ability to integrate with our general-purpose cloud platform that we have built over the last so many years. So all of these are a part of our moat. And of course, running a cloud involves doing a significant number of activities that all need to sync up and work together well. And essentially, we have been a team that has been doing that for a long time. And the team itself is also a moat that we have.
And how are you leveraging the L&T announcements? Is it helping you in the physical infrastructure in any way that, again, gives you some advantage?
We have mentioned that in the past, that L&T is one of the best partners for an India-centered company. So what I believe is that L&T is a very large group which has been able to open a lot of doors, a lot of conversations with us. And we continue to work with them to explore the various inside and outside use cases where we can work together.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And so I think my second question is, I know you mentioned about the Blackwells and all that, right? But there are also other vendors like AMD also trying to eat some of the pie. And I don't know whether you're looking at deploying other GPUs, or primarily these are again NVIDIA GPUs? And again, the second use case, I think you sort of addressed the other customer asked this question. Sorry, the other investor asked this question. You started looking at inferencing as well, right? Earlier in your calls, in the previous calls, you mentioned about training. So I want to understand what is this. Who are these customers? What kind of inference serving are they looking for, both on black NVIDIA GPUs as well as other GPUs?
I didn't really understand the question. So,
Right. So, first is, are you expanding your portfolio to other vendors like AMD GPUs in addition to NVIDIA GPUs, or is just only focused on the cloud?
Currently, we are very focused on where the customer demand is coming from. So primarily, we feel that the customer demand today is for NVIDIA GPUs, especially at least in India. That is one. So what was the other question you had?
Yeah, so the second question, I looked at your investor presentation. I think you, in one of the slides, you talked about PLLM and SD-LAN, all of that.
All of that is a part of our PS platform that we have been doing for a while now. And there are customers who are running many of those features that we have built.
Okay, and these customers are what? Are they AI startups, enterprises, or are they government, educational institutes?
All sorts of customers.
Okay, because I thought the training side of the story, probably you had government and education institutes, but I was expecting more inference side of story on the AI startups and enterprises. But you're saying all of them. Okay. There's no breakup here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There is no breakup right now.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, I think in our articles of association, we have increased our authorized capital by around 1,000 crore. So, just wanted to understand, are we looking for an imminent fundraise in the near term? And if yes, how would you be doing it, like through a QIP?
So, we will obviously keep everyone informed about our plans. So we'll make announcements as appropriate.
Since you all have changed the authorized capital, I believe most likely it will be an equity fundraise. So if that happens, how much of a dilution in the promoter stock are we looking at, and what could be the indicative price at which that equity fundraise will happen? Is basically what I wanted to understand.
Like I mentioned, that we will obviously keep everyone informed about our exact plan. So that's what I would like to say for now.
So nothing for this year, like FY26, it's not near term.
So once again, the third time, I would like to say the same thing. We would like to keep everyone informed about whatever we are doing. So, like, if we do anything, we will obviously make a full announcement, and you will learn from that.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh Rawat from Redanta Vision Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes,
you are. Please go ahead.
Okay, so my question is, could you please explain the current utilization level across all your GPUs, like H200, H100, and other GPUs you are running, like Blackwell and all?
See, I think in the previous quarter that has gone by, the overall utilization for on revenue was close to 35-40% or so. There is obviously a element of a lot of non-revenue utilization as well. So those were the numbers for the previous quarter. So we are obviously targeting somewhere between 80-90% utilization for the current infrastructure that we have. Especially we have the confidence of being able to achieve those numbers based on the India AI Mission orders that have been allocated to us. So we are very hopeful that by March, for the current infrastructure that is already there, that utilization will get to about 80-90%.
Okay, and what utilization change is required for understand that they given on the newly deployed capacity?
I'm sorry, I didn't was not able to hear your question clearly.
Yeah. So I was saying, what utilization range you are expecting for that additional tag break even on the newly deployed capacity which you will deploy.
Sorry about that. The line is not clear.
Akhilesh Rawat, I'm sorry to interrupt. Your voice is sounding muffled, sir.
Okay, so now is my voice clear?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, slightly better.
Yeah, so I was asking what utilization range is required for EBITDA and PAT breakeven on the newly developed capacity?
Let me allow Nitin to answer that question.
So could you please repeat what EBITDA range we require?
EBITDA and PAT breakeven on the newly deployed capacity is required. What utilization range is required for EBITDA and PAT breakeven on the newly deployed capacity?
So I think it would be difficult to say for a new capacity because the cost structure that we have is broadly fixed because we would not be able to allocate the cost of employees, etc., and the admin expenses to that. From a GP margin perspective, what we foresee is across our GP margin should be ranging from 80-85% across on that newly deployed assets.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Rawat, may we request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for their turn.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajkumar Vaidyanathan from RK Invest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I have two questions. So the first question is, what is the return on equity that we are looking at in the medium term, say about 2-3 years? Because I know that currently you are not making money at the bottom line. So just want to know what are the medium-term targets?
It will always be, as we keep growing, it will always be a work in progress. But ultimately, what we are targeting from an EBITDA perspective is to be somewhere in the range of 70% plus minus something over the medium and long term. As the volumes grow, I think we'll somewhere stabilize around those numbers.
70%. Is that what you said?
This is the EBITDA.
Okay, got it. So the second question is, you mentioned the MR, the monthly run rate of 40 crores you want to achieve by March 26. So I...
35 to 40 crores.
Yeah. So what would be the incremental cost to that? The cost line will be more dramatic as what you have for...
So I don't think there should be any major cost difference. Major cost difference in the sense that we are already accounting for a lot of costs that we are already incurring for the current infrastructure. So I don't think it should massively change. So that being said,
That was the question, or like was there another question over there? So CapEx-wise, so we already have the infrastructure in place. So OpEx-wise, we don't see like a super massive change.
Yeah. Okay. Sir, so the just to extend the question is, I think your business kind of requires a lot of capital to be deployed upfront. So do you think you will be able to win this race in the longer run, given that, you know, I mean, of course, you have the backing of L&T, but I'm just saying that tomorrow, if you need to deploy another, say, about 10,000 crores of cash, if the AI really picks up very big in India, so do you think you will have the wherewithal to kind of invest that much amount of money?
I think it would be like very speculative to answer that question today. So, but obviously, we are trying to build up our capacity as much as we can.
Okay, no, but how do you address the risk of obsolescence here? Because that is one big risk that you are running. So what, I mean, what is your view on that?
We have been in the compute business for almost past 16 years. So we have seen multiple cycles of these. So essentially, there are so many moving parts to kind of like take care to kind of like not have to worry about obsolescence as long as you have run things like in a prudential manner.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Vaidyanathan. May we request you to please rejoin the queue?
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will request you to please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Neel Munot from Pico Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes,
Please go ahead.
please.
Yes. Sir, I wanted to understand our last June quarter exit MRR was 14,000. Hence, we did 43.5 crores this quarter. So, but our exit MRR that published for this quarter is 16 crores. So, have we seen some dip between months, and then we've come back to 16 crores?
See, broadly, as soon as we receive the long-term order from the IndiaAI Mission, we have to kind of like free up the capacity from longer-term users or refuse some business from the longer-term users and kind of like work with only capacity which could be deployed preemptively. So in that sense, like kind of like we are in a holding pattern for our capacity where we are trying to utilize it, but not trying to utilize it for the long term because we obviously want to give priority to the workloads that are coming from IndiaAI Mission. And we also kind of like want to somewhat utilize it, not keeping it like fully idle. So like the balance between the two, I think like that is something we are trying to establish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. So the question is like, when do we expect the billing to commence for the, you know, large projects that we won from the IndiaAI Mission?
Sorry, say that again, please.
Like, when do we expect the billing to commence for the two large projects that we won from the IndiaAI Mission? Any, like, timeline that you can share?
I think it should be sooner than later, but like we can't put a immediate date to that. So, but like we are very, very hopeful that it should be very, very soon.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinivasu K from Tamil Nadu Investor Association. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Have you done any benchmarks comparing E2E versus AWS or Azure or GCP on training time and cost for the same model and, you know, same data set? And what was the difference in time to train the total cost on E2E versus these hyperscalers?
There are certain standard cluster tests for GPU that our team keeps doing internally, with a view to find the compute performance. And we believe that, like, although these are not, I don't believe these are published, but like what we believe is that, like, we match the performance with the best of them out there in amongst the neo cloud operators. So it's very, very close to the performance that everyone else is getting, including the standard benchmarks that are out there.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand B. from Sima Wells Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks for the opportunity again. I just want to ask one question. In the beginning of this month, Trump did try to attempt to restrict NVIDIA's top Blackwell chips to leave US that easily. He's barring it from China, but he's also may try to attempt from other countries as well. So would you have any, you know, issues or like any threats based for that?
I think that question is a bit above my pay grade. So see, basically, like, we do our level best to kind of like follow like all our laws of India and laws of the country of origin of where we are buying our equipment. So we ensure fully that, like, none of our services are utilized by anyone who is not allowed to utilize those services.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. I just wanted to know if you have seen any conversions on the POC side with respect to enterprise, because long run, that is the steady state business, right? And how is the AI demand environment from India AI mission? If you can spend some time over there as well.
See, the enterprises will continue to adopt AI. We will continue to work with the enterprises, like those conversations and conversions, like, will keep happening. So that being said, like, the overall demand from a DII mission, like, we are very positive about that. And we believe that, like, basically the goal of a DII mission is to make India self-sufficient. And like the cloud GPU providers, I think they are a very big part of that equation. And we would continue to contribute to the mission.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah, so thank you everyone for listening to us. I would also like to thank our entire team, all of our customers, all of our shareholders, and all our ecosystem partners, including the vendors and everyone. And thank you one and all. Like, we hope that, like, we continue to have these conversations.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Members of the management, with that, we conclude today's conference call. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.